We are basically halfway through Lent right now. And I'm quite sure that as Lent was approaching 3 weeks ago, many people would have planned what they were going to do or not do during Lent. Common examples would be to give up candy or chocolate or TV or something. Some even give up smoking or other equal gestures. Usually about 3 days after they give up smoking, everyone that knows them will buy them a pack of cigarettes and encourage them to start again. Others will add something to their life, like more prayers or additional masses or charitable works, some sort of effort to do more. Whatever they do or not do is usually done with great intentions and would be honorable in its gesture. But let's look into our readings today to see if there is any insight as to Lent and changes we should make to our lives during Lent. First, this fourth Sunday of Lent is referred to as Lateri Sunday. The fourth Sunday of Lent marks the midpoint of the Lenten preparation for the resurrection feast. In Joshua, it portrays the people celebrating for the first time the Feast of Freedom in their own land. And I might add, the Promised Land. They are celebrating a promise kept by God. Taking them to the Promised Land, yes, Lent is a season of penance, but we cannot take our eyes off the fact that Jesus is about to make the way possible for us, like the earlier Israelites, to get into the Promised Land, not a country, but heaven. Our penance, meager as it is, compared to what Jesus offered, is a way for us to show our willingness to share in the struggle of our spiritual freedom, just as Jesus did for us. The celebrating part of this is, yes, I said celebrating, Mass today, because we do not observe Lenten sacrifices on Sunday. Moderation, people, moderation. We do not undo the entire week's sacrifices just because it's Sunday, like 10 pounds of chocolate or 5 packs of cigarettes trying to make up for lost time all week. The second reading, Corinthians, gives us an additional information in regards to Lenten practices. The second reading is, of course, by Paul. The first images of Paul we have in the Bible is he has been commissioned to persecute the Christians, and he was very effective at it. Now, let's stop for a moment and try to look into his mind at that stage of his life. He was methodically jailing, torturing, and killing people who were Christians. And then he has a 100% turnaround after his face-to-face encounter with Jesus. Now what is he thinking? Look what I've done. Look what everybody thinks of me. I was so wrong. Everything I thought I knew was wrong. How do I reconcile with God? If I don't, my soul is doomed, and so on. He must have been sick to the stomach. If St. Paul had been taken from that very time and placed in one of our confessionals today, could you imagine his confession? What is even worse, is he was dealing with Jesus and the apostles directly in person. There wouldn't be any fudging of the truth. There would be nothing conveniently left out of his reconciliation or his confession. St. Paul had been exposed to everyone as to who he was and what he was. Our relationship with Jesus and ultimately our ability to enter heaven is directly how we reconcile with God. Let's look back again at the first reading. And no one that left Egypt in the Exodus made it to the promised land except Joshua and Caleb, who were rewarded for their faith. 600,000 Israelites started out to enter the promised land, and only two made it. Let's take a look at Matthew 17, 13 through 14, and see what it tells us. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it is few. Now we move to the gospel. We have the parable of the prodigal son. This is a very familiar story in the Bible, and it's very easy to get wrapped up trying to envision the life of the younger brother and what he's doing, and it is very easy to miss the forgiveness of his father to his son. So very quickly, the reason that the father ordered a ring to be put on his finger and the robe on his shoulders and sandals on his feet, and not just a robe, but the best one, is because slaves did not wear finger rings or robes or sandals. So the father has immediately elevated his son to lord position. The ring and robe do not signify wealth as much as it signifies a position over the slaves. So the forgiveness of the father gives his son is not just lip service, but it takes on action that reinforces the same. His forgiveness is for real and has real meat in it, so to speak. What can this gospel reading teach us about Lent? Well, because Lent is a time for us to pull closer to God and to show him our devotion to him, we should not only forgive anyone that has hurt us, but do it in a very meaningful way. Does God want us to forgive in that way? Well, let's look at what he has already taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's as far into the Lord's Prayer that I'm going. But it's very clear that if we don't forgive others, he is not going to forgive us. Do we want him to forgive us? Of course we do. But it's up to us to initiate that forgiveness. Oh, Deacon West, you don't understand. That person really did something horrible to me. I just can't up and let it go. Again, let's look at Jesus for an example. According to St. Elizabeth, Queen of Hungary, St. Matilda, and St. Bridget recorded what took place at Jesus' crucifixion. The blows received on my head were 150. Those on my stomach were 108. Kicks on my shoulders were 80. I was bound with cords by the hair 24 times. Spits in the face were 180. I was beaten on the body 6,666 times. Beaten on the head 110 times. I was roughly pushed and at 12 o'clock was lifted up by the hair. Pricked with thorns and pulled by the beard 23 times. Received 20 wounds on the head. Thorns of marine junks, 72. Pricks of thorns in the head, 110. Mortal thorns in the forehead, 3. After that, they mocked him until they killed him. What did Jesus say from the cross as he was dying? Luke 23:34. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Seriously, you think you can top that? Jesus wants us to forgive others for our own good. So let's cap this message on our Lenten mission. If we took a snapshot of what we were like a week before Lent and another a week after Lent, and those two pictures looked exactly alike, we just made a serious mistake. Our Lenten voyage should be a time for us to change and be closer to God permanently, not just for the 40 days. What will your picture look like one day after Lent is over? Will God be impressed or not?